You're listening to the Grief in the Womb series on the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Jocelyn Lancaster, and today I'm joined by Jen Maynard. Now, Jen reached out to me via Twitter when she saw what I was doing the series about. She said, "I have such an incredible testimony. I need to tell you what the Lord has done." And so now we're sharing this testimony with you. 5 miscarriages, but doctors couldn't find anything wrong. Jen Maynard knew the Lord had promised her children, but she never stopped to think that those children might not be her biological babies. Now, Jen's using her pain, grief, and heartache to minister to other women who have endured the same trauma. Listen to our podcast after the sponsor to hear how. Now, today we are talking about quartermaster stewardship. And quartermaster stewardship is a biblically based financial investment firm. So they make sure that the money that you're investing goes toward companies who have Christian values. So they do things like have a pro-life council, dig clean water wells, and provide Bibles to the persecuted. Because we want to make sure that your money goes to a place that supports your values. To request your free pro-life impact report, go to qmstewardship.org. And for more information, you can call 704-837-2444. And now, back to our interview. Welcome back. My name is Jocelyn Lancaster, and today I am here with Jen Maynard. She is the founder of Thriving in Real Life. She is a warrior, a wife, a mother, a friend, a teacher, and my favorite descriptor, a lover of cute accessories. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you here. Now, you are an expert in many things, including trauma and personality tests, which we'll have to get into at a later date because our office is obsessed with MBTI and the Enneagram. But today we are here to talk about grief and child loss and what happens when you have miscarriages. And you have quite a unique story that differs from some other people. Can you tell me a little bit about your testimony?
Certainly. So my personal story involves 5 losses that occurred. One loss occurred in the beginning of our marriage, and then the other 4 kind of came together later on. They were very unique, and through the pain of those losses, what I didn't realize at the time was that God was weaving this story together that would end up in us adopting a little girl.
Can you tell me a little bit about that story?
Certainly. So at that time, we had, I had experienced a loss in May of 2010. And that loss in particular was, it was more devastating to me because that weekend that I discovered that loss, I was doing a Stand for Life prayer gathering in front of an abortion clinic, and we're there with other prayer warriors, and I had had blood work done on a Friday, and this Stand for Life event happened on a Saturday, and then I received my lab results on Monday. Mm-hmm. So here I am this weekend praying that the Lord would prompt these women to choose life, and not finding out till Monday that while I was doing that, I was actually losing the life that I was carrying. And I wrestled with that. Wrestled with that because there were feelings there that I wasn't sure how to manage. I kind of felt angry. I'm like, is this some kind of a joke? What is happening? So there was a lot there that I had to work through. But the following month after that miscarriage, we were contacted by a family in our church who had a sister that was incarcerated, and she was going to be giving birth while she was incarcerated, and they needed someone to take care of her baby once it was born. Mm-hmm. And since we had already prepared, that was miscarriage number 3 for me at that point. Mm. We had already accumulated baby stuff. So my husband and I were like, yeah, we can do this. So this particular situation was 15 months long. From the time the baby was born in prison, we would keep her for 15 months until her mother would be released. Mm-hmm. During that time, she was born in June, and then in December, there was a young woman who came in that found out she was pregnant, and she knew that she didn't want to parent. She wasn't in a situation to parent. She was going to place the baby for adoption. So they called us and said, hey, would you be interested in adopting this baby? So there were a lot of emotions, a lot of stuff going on that we were like, okay, we're gonna walk this road. Well, that happened in December. And when you back up, I had another loss after we had agreed to foster this baby.
So that's four at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
So we picked her up from the hospital in June, and then in September, I had another loss. And that loss was really crazy, because the day that I found out I was miscarrying, we were driving through. I had my son. We drove through to pick up food to take home because I was just a mess. I had gotten a phone call after taking him from a doctor's appointment, and we just had a lot going on that wasn't good news. And I'm crying, and I pull up to the window to pick up our food, and these women are standing in the window, and they're like, do you know the people in front of you? And I said, no. And they're like, well, they paid for your order. And I'm like, but they wanted us to tell you, have a good day. Well, I lost it in the drive-thru because I had just uttered those words to my son. And I said, this is not a good day.
Aww.
And I sat in the car crying to the Lord of what is going on? You promised me that we would have children. And here I am, losing child after child in miscarriage. And I thought, when you told me I would have these children, they would be here on earth with me. And it was a struggle, but the Holy Spirit would keep saying to me, just trust the Lord. And what I didn't know at that time, that we can look back now and see, is during that time I was in the drive-thru, that was the day that the mom who came into the prison in December, that was when she conceived the baby girl that we ended up adopting.
Wow. The Lord works things out in the craziest ways.
Yes, he does.
You could tell me a little bit about your faith during this process. It sounds like you were really wrestling and really just crying out to the Lord and asking a lot of questions.
I was really wrestling, and it goes back to the third loss when it happened the weekend of Stand for Life, and my heart was tender to the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord and was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 12 years old, and I always had this desire to follow Him with all of my heart, and so when you live a life of seeking after the Lord, and then your reality of circumstances start to become so overwhelmingly painful, the pain makes you question what you ultimately believe. And for me, the Lord was really challenging me with the question was, did I really believe that He was good, or did I believe that He was an angry God? And the challenge for me came that even though I was doing, quote, the right things, and I always wanted to be the good Christian girl, sometimes we can wear masks and we don't really become vulnerable and say, I'm struggling and I think my struggle is anger. Like, I think I'm mad at God. And he can handle those emotions. He can handle those thoughts that we have and those things that we wrestle with. But it's not until we surrender it to Him that we can have healing in our life.
I think that is an excellent point. And as you're describing the pain, I know so many women and so many couples can empathize with this, especially people who feel like, you know, we've lived righteous lives. We've honored God with everything that we've done. Why are we sitting here and experiencing such a devastating loss? Can you add anything to that?
For me, it was how do I keep my heart soft? And how do I continue to praise God during the situations? And I was not by any means perfect at this. I struggled and I had to really challenge myself in those times when I felt he wasn't hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? What am I supposed to do next? I mean, when you find out you're pregnant and you struggle with loss and you're quoting scriptures over your pregnancy every day, when you get up, when you go to bed, you're like, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still get the devastating news. It is a challenge. But what I discovered going through this was the writer in Hebrews talks about a sacrifice of praise.
Mm.
And that really resonated with me because it's easy to praise God and recount all of the things that he's done for us when we're in good times, when things are going well and everything is going as it should. But when we hit the reality of hard times and we walk through painful situations, being able to joyfully recount everything that he has done, that is a sacrifice because you're not feeling it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling it in that season. So offering a sacrifice of praise
mm-hmm.
really has new meaning to me now of what that is. But what I learned was that giving a sacrifice of praise is not denying our reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying this isn't happening and, you know, I'm just going to ignore what's happening. A sacrifice of praise is a choice to fix our focus and allow healing to flow. Because in Psalms, David proclaims that he is near to the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And I had to cling on to those promises during these dark times.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned the word promises, because you had also said a few minutes ago that you felt the Lord had promised you children. Are there any other prophetic things, prophetic signs or dreams that you had through this journey that you really used to hold on to for hope?
I did. Prior to these losses, I had a doctor's appointment where they had told me I was supposed to have a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled with that. But a week before the surgery, as I'm stepping out of the shower, the Lord clearly said to me, cancel that surgery.
Oh, wow.
And that was a huge risk. So I called him up. I'm like, I'm going to be obedient. And I canceled the surgery. Well, then it was probably 6 months or so later, I was in a small group with our women from the church. And I had an appointment the next day with a new doctor. And she had I'd asked the prayer group to please pray. I was going to another doctor, but they didn't know what I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were praying over me, they were prophesying and they were saying, oh, we see, you know, there's more babies coming, more children are coming. And what was crazy the next day when I go to the new doctor's appointment, the doctor did an exam, she did an ultrasound, and she's just not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm questioning her. I'm like, what's going on? And she did an internal exam, everything. And then she looked at me and she goes, I just can't find anything that they have in this other report.
Oh.
That says that you needed a hysterectomy. And I'm like blown away. I'm like, well, I know God healed me at that point
mm-hmm.
because of the prayer meeting. So I was thankful. I was praising God. I'm like, I have this word. And he has, you know, sealed that word with this healing. Then we went through the process of I ended up getting pregnant. I had no issue getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't. I couldn't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would make it to the 6 to 8 week point. 10 weeks, I think, was the longest I had made it. And then for some reason, they just had no explanation. Mm-hmm. I would end up miscarrying. So that, I think, kind of went hand in hand with my wrestling with anger of like, I have this word that I will have more children, but I'm not experiencing that reality in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from that was we oftentimes try to interpret words that when we run them through our human filter
mm-hmm.
is not necessarily the same thing that God was saying to us.
Girl, preach.
So yes, I'm going to have more children. But what I didn't know at the time, those children were going to come to me through various forms. We have fostered 7 children.
Oh, wow.
So I have opened my heart in that time and taking care of kids, two of which would not have survived if we hadn't taken them in. Mm. It was just crazy situations that the Lord had put us in, where I was their mom. I was nurturing them. I was raising them. I was growing them. And then we would end up adopting this baby from birth. And it was just a whole beautiful story that God was creating that I couldn't see at the moment. In my mind, having more children meant I was going to give birth to them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a crucial concept that so many people miss, is that when God gives us words, He's giving them because He's the Lord, and we don't know what's happening in His brain. And so we like to jump to conclusions that, oh, God told me this, so it clearly means this. And exactly. Sometimes that's not the case at all. So tell me a little bit about how your story, the Lord has used your story to help other people.
It's been amazing. My story... I've been able to take the part of my story that a lot of women wrestle with, and that is pain.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of the situation, like regardless of what journey they've walked through in life, whether it's been hurt, pain, or trauma, the parts of the process that you feel, the pain that you feel, and the feelings that you wrestle with, they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
And women have really... received a lot of healing by understanding why they do the things they do, some of, you know, the patterns that they have in their life and the decisions that they make. Because, as I said, you know, pain can change what you believe mm-hmm. when you don't hand that pain over to the Lord. And a lot of women don't realize that pain is powerful, and mm-hmm. we cannot handle pain by ourselves. Because if we try to handle pain by ourselves, it's going to turn into something that it was never meant to be. And the only way that we can have healing in our lives is by handing that over to the Lord and allowing Him to heal. A lot of women will want to pitch a tent in their pain and feel mm-hmm. like they can't move on. And I feel like the Lord has gifted me with that ability to just be able to shed light into their situation and help them get up and walk, help them get up mm-hmm. and move on and see that there is hope and there is a future. And He works all things together for good to those that are called according to His purpose. So, I mean, it's just been beautiful to see how all of the pain and heartache that I've had to walk through in my life, that the Lord has just molded it together and created this beautiful tapestry that is able to touch so many other women in similar situations.
That actually leads well into my next question, which is, how do you keep from letting bitterness take root in your heart when you are dealing with so much pain?
Bitterness is a choice. If we don't know, so bitterness answers, there's two questions at the root of bitterness that have to be answered. Why me? And I have done nothing to deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
And if we fester on those two questions demanding justice for ourselves, it just grows. It grows and it grows and it grows. And we never find healing when we're stuck. It's like a hamster wheel. We get stuck in that wheel. And it's not until we hop off that mindset and go back to the sacrifice of praise, where in Hebrews it says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. We have to choose praise over negativity and bitterness because we attract what we speak. And if we have a promise, we have to speak that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And if we give in to the bitterness and the negativity and the why is this happening to me, we're never going to reach a place where we can receive healing. So we have to fix our focus. When we find ourselves falling into bitterness, it's all about fixing your focus.
So give me an example of how you would do that. Say that, I mean, this isn't the case in my life, but say that I am a woman who has just miscarried and I'm really hurt and I'm asking the Lord, why me? Why now? I thought You promised me these things. What is my next step to make sure that I can submit a sacrifice of praise?
You have to be able to walk through the grief process. What I coach women to do is don't try to make your grief process short. There's a lot of people that'll say, oh, you should just get over it. Oh, there was the worst one I have heard, and it happened to me, was, oh, well, there was probably something wrong with the baby, and it's better.
What?
There's a lot of hurtful things that people will say when people are grieving that you just have to block them out.
That is horrible. Why would you say that?
I have heard it from so many
women. Oh, my goodness. No.
It's just, people just need to be quiet there. But
yes,
you have to, I encourage women to grieve. You have to allow yourself to feel the feelings. And when you're wrestling with anger, you have to be honest with God. That is the biggest point of all of this. You have to be in your pain, being vulnerable and being honest about your feelings with the Lord. And I feel like what I've noticed is when women become honest with their feelings and they take that to the Lord, their hearts become softer and they can see that He is good. He is for them. Bad things happen. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but He is with us and we're not stopping there. We're not just going to stop and live in the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to keep moving. And we're going to keep going forward, and He is with us. And as long as we can keep our focus on Him, then you will see, oh, okay. It's like remembering the wonderful things that He has done. In my situation, I could say, I know He is an all-powerful God. He healed me.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to have that surgery at that time, and I went to another doctor, completely healed. They couldn't find anything that the other doctor had. So you remind yourself of the wonderful things that God has done in your life.
That is so good. I know that even when I'm having a bad day, I have to go through my own gratitudes of, all right, what am I thankful for, so I can shift my mindset. Now, we are almost out of time, but I want to make sure that our listeners hear this. If they're interested in connecting with you or the resources or the coaching that you provide, where can they find you?
They can find me online at www.jenmaynard.com or on social media at the @ Thriving in Real Life.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today with us, Jen. I am deeply appreciative to hear some of the wisdom that you have and just the way the Holy Spirit has moved through your story to help other women. Now, our favorite way to close out a podcast, let's see if I can talk here, is for our guests to pray for our listeners. Can you do that for us today?
Yes, I can. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share my story and to touch the lives of the women who are listening. Father, pain is very real, loss is very real, and women walk through this every day. I just ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come close to them, heal them, comfort them, Father, just as your word says, you are near to the brokenhearted and you bind up their wounds, Father. And we just pray for healing for all of the women who are listening that are walking through these painful situations, that are dealing with loss, and they're not sure what to do with it, Father. I pray that you would touch them and heal them and bring them peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jen, for stopping by today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into this episode. There are more stories like this on Charisma News podcast. That's on cpnshows.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.